miss the kids. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, we're grateful for a loving God. Lord, right now, there's so much stuff going on around the world and in our own country that there's so much madness and confusion and anger and bitterness and hate. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive me. Lord, we ask that that you would speak to us through your word today. Thank you for such a beautiful passage as 1 Corinthians 13, Lord. Thank you for a reminder in a country that is just struggling so much with anger and hate right now. Lord, that we get to come to a passage of love. Lord, we just pray that you would use it in our lives. Lord, we pray that the truth of your word of 1 Corinthians 13 would start just coming into the lives of so many around this country and around this world, Lord. We pray for miracles. We pray for mountains to be moved. We pray where there is bitterness and hatred and anger, Lord, it would be replaced by your love for one another. We pray for the miracle of your love coming into the lives of people who are broken and who are trying to break other people. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Bless your word in our lives today. May we be used by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, you are excused for children's church. All right. Because we had a really nice time on our time away. Julie's mom has a place near our right off of Long Beach. And so we get to go and stay at a place for free. And I love free. That's always a good word. But it was just so nice to be away with the family. And, you know, the first 3 days I was just, you know, still doing that. And it was really nice to come to a place where we were relaxed and feeling good and have some time just with the family. And then Julie's mom and her husband were able to join us for the last few days. And that was really, really great. Thank you for your prayers. And we were praying for you guys. One of the things that we heard about more when Grandma and Grandpa came down to visit was what was happening in Missouri and in Ferguson. And when I got up this morning, I got up to just kind of go over my notes and look at things. And the first thing that popped up on the computer was the news. And another person was shot this morning. More people were arrested. People who were protesting, one of the protesters or something shot another person and in the same town, in the same area. It's just been an 18-year-old was killed by a policeman, and there is just so much anger and bitterness, and I got to tell you guys, there is so much racial hatred and other kinds of hatred that is just going rampant. And one of the signs, I looked at a bunch of the news clippings, and one of the signs that really caught me was, you know, there were so many signs that were just so full of hate. And some people who had hate for the police officers in general, some people who had hate for the protesters. There was one sign that caught my eye which said, "Please pray for us all." And, you know, there's a lot of people coming in now from out of town, I read this morning, that are just trying to rile up hatred and create more and more destruction. And, guys, we need to pray for the people of Missouri. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for what's taking place. It's interesting that with that as the background of what we're experiencing right now. And, you know, it's interesting. All of you have different emotions, don't you? Because of your experiences, because of your background, because of what you know, who you are, and what you've experienced in life, all of us are reacting one way or another to what we're hearing. We're also hearing all different kinds of stuff, and we don't know what to believe. We don't know what's true. But we're all very emotional. And in that light, I want to come to this scripture that we come to today. This is one of the most famous passages in scripture. If you go to a wedding, you'll often hear these verses shared. They're beautiful verses. But more than just beautiful verses, they're powerful verses. Extremely powerful verses. Our theme this morning is love. So let's start in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Two contrasting ideas that we're hearing of this morning so far, right? One of what we're hearing from Missouri, which is full of hate. You are going to pay, whichever side the person is on, you're going to pay for what you've done. You've wronged us, and now I'm going to make it right. Or what I grew up hearing over and over and over again was, you don't get even, you get ahead. Somebody comes at you and they strike you, you beat them. This was a lesson I was taught. It was just pushed into my heart and my mind over and over. You never get even. You always get ahead. And if you don't, you're not a man. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. It's about me and what I want. And what I want is really what I need. And if you get in the way of what I want, I need you to be out of my way. And I'll remove you if I have to. Whether it's emotionally, relationally, through gossip, through force, I'll find a way to get you out of my way. It's a powerful, powerful scripture that we hear of this morning, which is the opposite of that, which is love. There are three aspects of love which we're going to be looking at this morning. The first is the preeminence of love. Love is over everything else. Do you remember 2 weeks ago at the end of chapter 12? It said, I will show you a still a more excellent way. He was talking about the gifts and all the gifts that the body of Christ in Corinth had. And remember, we know from the beginning of Corinthians that they had every single gift that there is to have in that church. But they were struggling in the area of love. And then Paul said at the end of chapter 12, he said, I will show you still a more excellent way. What is that way? It's the way of love. The gifts of the Spirit are not as important as the fruit of the Spirit. Guys, hear that. The gifts of the Spirit help produce the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what God is after, because it's Christ in us, moving through us. Chapters 12 through chapter 14, which we're going to continue in a few weeks ahead of us. They're all dealing with the area of spiritual gifts. And here, right in the middle of the mysteries of how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers, is this section on love. And that is not a mistake. Remember, the chapters and the verses were added later. This is one thought. This is one section being carried out. And this area, as it talks about love, is to be understood and experienced in the area of, as God gives the spiritual gifts, there's still a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Love is the key. Love is the main thing. One of the most deadly enemies of the Christian cause is phony love, fake love. Love that looks spiritual and looks real on the outside, but is selfish and demanding. And that is why in Romans, Paul says in Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. Let it be real. God's love is real. And this scripture that we're going to be going through and breaking down right here, it's God's love. It's defining the love of Jesus. And one of the things that I think is interesting, if you take this and as it goes in from verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, If you put Jesus in the place of that, we see that this is the love of Christ. We see that Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus doesn't envy. He doesn't boast. He's not rude. He's not proud. He's not self-seeking. He doesn't get easily angered. He doesn't delight in the wrongs of others. And it's what we're to shoot for. But we can't get there unless it's Christ himself actually loving through us. If it's not real love, it's hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is detestable to God. It's interesting. The word love, there's a few words. There's three words that's used for love here. And this is not the word love that comes from the Greek word eros. That's erotic love. That's sensuous love. That's the attraction between two people and that sensuality. It's not talking about that love. And it's not talking about philia, brotherly love. It's not talking about that. It's agape love is the word that is used here. Agape love. Agape love is the only kind of love that's used when it refers to God. It's the only one. His love is agape. And agape is a commitment of the will. Think about this. Why does God love you? How many times have you let God down? Today. We don't have to go back very far, do we? How many times have we blown it? What is God thinking in loving us? Seriously, does he have a problem? Why would you love someone who constantly blows it and lets you down? It's a commitment of the will. Julie and I just went on vacation. Guess what? You know how I talked about the first couple of days? We had a little tiff on the way down. We have little tiffs now and then. Can you believe Pastor Matthew has a little tiff? I don't remember what we were arguing about, but I know I was right. I know it. I'm sure of it. And I'm sure she was wrong. Let's not vote. Because I know I'm losing that battle. Oh, man. Love is a decision, a commitment that you make. God is committed to us. He's made a covenant with us. Praise God, he keeps his covenant. Even when we don't. And that is the love that we give away. And you know what? It's hard to love people you don't like. Right? There are people, I'll admit it, there are people I don't like. Not here, of course. Actually, I love you guys. But there are people that are hard to like, let alone love. Man, how do we deal with that? How does God deal with us? There are times where we're hard to love. There's times with my family where I'm hard to love. There's times where I don't lead strong enough. There's times where I overbear and I demand to be followed. Agape love is a decision and a commitment to treat another person with concern, with care, and to do what's best for them. To do what's best for them. Love doesn't say, you know, as long as you come and agree with me, now we're together. Agape love says, I'm willing to suffer for you. I'm willing to go through the junk for you because I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you, and I'm committed to your well-being. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? What if this kind of love was being experienced in Missouri right now? How differently would we be responding as a community, as a country, if this kind of love was going forth from the Christian community and finding its way in to the culture? What if the love of God was what oozed out of Christians rather than self-righteousness, rather than my wisdom or my right? Or we don't have rights as Christians. Isn't that ugly to hear? Don't you just hate that? I have rights as a Christian. Really? Did Jesus lay down his rights for us? I see a God who is willing to suffer and die for me. And I'm going to stand on my right on this thing, and big things or even small things? I'm going to die on that hill? For what? Man, Guys, we got to be careful here. Paul is giving us a more excellent way. He's sharing God's truth about the way to live and to experience life, to where the things of this earth don't come in and destroy us from the inside out. There's a lot of people in bondage right now. There's people in this room who are in bondage emotionally, relationally. There's people in Missouri. There's people all over the world who are living in all different kinds of bondage, of slavery. Slavery is rampant in our world. And there's a way to be set free. There's a way to find freedom. Even in physical bondage, we can be free. Even in death, we can be free. Love knows no bounds. God's love knows no bounds. My love knows a lot of bounds. God's love doesn't. It doesn't. This kind of love is possible. Guys, agape love is only possible if we first love God. You might say, well, that's not fair. My love is real. God's love is pure. Your love, my love, is corrupted. The Word of God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't first love God, because you're only giving away your love, which is tainted. It's broken. It's a gift not worth giving. God's love is worth it. It's an eternal, perfect, pure love. Now, I know right now, as we talk about this subject, love, forgiveness, receiving, putting others first, some of you are squirming right now because there's bitterness in your heart towards someone. It's just a reality. If you're here and you're hearing truth about the love of God, and you're holding in bitterness and anger against somebody from way back or somebody from earlier this morning, this is a hard message to hear. And you're thinking of reasons why, well, yeah, but. Well, you don't understand. I didn't start this. Why would I forgive? It's just going to happen again. Pastor, you don't know all the situation. I don't. I don't have a clue. But I know the truth of God's word. I know the power of God's word. And I know that if we don't take it in and give it away, there is a civil war that takes place in the flesh. Because there's sin in me. And if I'm a believer in Christ, Christ is in me. And the civil war is going crazy hearing a scripture like this when there's unforgiveness in your heart for someone. When there's bitterness towards a situation or a person. Many of us are trying to love our neighbor without having the love of God, and it can't happen. It just can't. It's impossible. Not agape love. Not agape love. Because Christ is in us, we can have agape love for others, even when it's difficult. To encourage us, Paul shows us some of the qualities of love. Number one, of course, Paul contrasts love here with different things. Different things that were really lifted up in Corinth. You know, one of the things that is really important in Corinth is the ability to communicate. Knowledge was the god, the idol of the day. And to have knowledge and to be able to communicate knowledge was of great value. You guys, Seattle and the greater Seattle area, we're about knowledge. Philosophy is everything. It's not... The only philosophy that's not accepted is one that is not inclusive of everything. So if what you believe goes along with there is no right or wrong, that's wonderful. Oh, man, you're in Seattle, you're in the right place. There's no right or wrong. It was the same in Corinth. Man's wisdom is everything. God is exclusive because God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How's that possible? I don't believe in Jesus, therefore I can't. No. And now man tries to puff himself up above God. The first ability to communicate here. These Corinthians valued communication. They elevated eloquence. They elevated just and admired oratory and the spoken word. They thought a lot of this gift as we do today. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels,
but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a big noisemaker. Have you ever had, we have four children. When our four children were younger, guess what our grandparents got our kids as toys? They got our children toys that made a lot of noise. And then they got hugs and kisses and they went away. Day in, day out, we had those toys. And you remember those toys that drove you crazy? Are you in the midst of it now? If you don't have kids yet and you're planning, get some earplugs. Also, talk to your parents. Don't buy toys that are loud and obnoxious. It is a grandparent thing. I'll give you that. It's a parent thing to say, I don't know what happened to that toy. What in the world? Oh, my goodness. Let's try and find it. We can't find it. Wow, that's too bad. Here's a lollipop. There's no suggestion here that the gift of speaking in tongues is speaking with angels. And some people try and say that this is something that shows, and in my opinion, boy, I don't see the connection. But what this is saying is that it's important for a loving person to be able to speak in the languages of earth and heaven. That this is, if a person has the ability to speak in all these languages, in all the languages of earth and heaven, but they don't have love, they've got nothing. What in that culture and in that community was valued? This communication. Why? They were the orators. They were the ones who were in authority. They had positions of power. And so all this power to lead by what we say is worth nothing if we don't have love. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I'm just a big noisemaker. I am a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. It's essential, guys, to learn what love really is. Communication without love is a dangerous thing. Communication without love is a weapon, and you will use that weapon to puff yourself up, to make yourself powerful at the expense of others. If the love of Christ is not in you and us, we've got to be so careful. Then he compares love with two other qualities that are admired in the day of Corinth and in our day as well. Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I love that. I love the full understanding of that. He's not talking about moving mountains. We've heard that used in other places in Scripture. Has it been off the whole time? No, it just went off. Okay. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, you know what this is talking about? If you're a great theologian, you know, some people think that to be mature in Christ means to have a lot of head knowledge, and they wound the people around them consistently. If you are growing in head knowledge and you're gaining more artillery to do destruction with, how many people have been hurt by Christians who've gained enough knowledge to be deadly? Guys, knowledge is important. God values it. But maturity is not just head knowledge. That's not maturity. If you're not kind, you're not mature. That's what it's saying. You can't be mature in Christ and be a jerk or full of yourself or self-righteous. To put it in more spiritual terms, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Finally, he takes it to a sacrificial zeal in verse 3. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Some people are committed and mean. They're committed to a cause. We're seeing that in Missouri right now, aren't we? People committed to a cause. And if you are not with me, you are my enemy, and I'm going to destroy you with everything I have. I'm going to get everybody around me to come on my side to take you out. If you're not with me, you're against me. That's a big scale of what's happening in Missouri, but it's in our hearts on a lesser scale, isn't it? You just said what to me? You disrespected me? Are you serious? Do you know who I am? We all feel like that at times, don't you? Do you know who I am? Well, do you know who I think of myself as, at least? We can be zealous and have nothing. We can be committed to God and miss it altogether. We can be very, very religious. Religion kills, guys. The love of God breaks through and heals and blesses. Then he goes on to say here, and as it continues in verses 4 through 7, we see something practical, something very, very practical. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. I love the way that's stated. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Ouch. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's interesting here. Notice that in the paragraph, there are only three positives at the beginning. Love is patient, love is kind, and it rejoices with truth. Man, those are positive things. It's patient, it's kind, and it's honest. That's what love is. What are the things that keep us from being patient, kind, and honest? Well, it says it here. It does not insist. It is not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not envy or boast. How are we doing with that, guys? Wanting, envy, wanting what somebody else has. Desiring that, you know what? They've got it. Why do they have it? That's not fair. Or boasting. Sometimes when you're in a conversation, you can be waiting for the other person to finish so that you can boast. There are times where I'm selfish and I'm not really hearing the other person. I'm waiting for my turn to shine, to show how wonderful I am. That's not love. It's not arrogant or rude. We live in a very arrogant world. People are so full, puffed up with themselves. And too much of the time, that's a part of me. That's not love. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but it rejoices with the truth. Guys, the truth is important. What is this not saying? It's not saying love doesn't have an opinion. Or love isn't willing to do the hard thing. It's not saying that. Sometimes love, an important part of love, is doing the hard thing. It's very easy not to say anything when something needs to be said. But if we don't say anything, that's not love either. So guys, we've got to be careful with this one. Tough love slips into self-righteousness in a moment. If I think, if I care for a person and I see what they're doing and I love them and I want what's best for them and I know that that's not what's best for them, a loving person will say something, but they'll say it in a way that is not rude, is not irritable, is not full of self-pride. And guys, this is so tough, and I have failed here so many times because I've loved someone and I've tried to say something, and sometimes I've even started out with the right heart and the right motive. And then the pushback. You ever get that pushback? We've all gotten that pushback. You start to say something, this pushback. I'm saying what's right because I can't. And now we're incensed and we're self-righteous and now we're on the hunt. We're on the hunt to be declared righteous. And this is not over until I am declared loving. I said this because I was loving. And how did I get so far off? Because I love with me. Because I was offended at the pushback.
Have you ever pushed back when somebody loves you the hard way? It's real easy to do. There was a time, about a year ago, where Ron said something to me in the office that I needed to hear. And you know what my response was? I got so puffed up, and I made my little declaration, and I walked in the other room. And for about 5 seconds, I was feeling very, very good. Oh, man, And then I was thinking about how I should have said it to make it sting even more. And then the guilt and the... And then, oh, yeah, Ron and I are in this thing. He's got my back more times than I can remember. And here I am at a moment's notice willing to sacrifice him for my pleasure. Going back in there, Ron, it was hard to do when I came back in that. It was tough. And when I started to go back in, guess what? I didn't know if I fully meant it or not. But I knew something was wrong in my heart. And part of me was still holding on to the fact, well, I hope he at least hears and sees what I'm doing. My heart was wrong. It was just wrong. We need to be careful with tough love. We need to be careful with the harder conversations. Because the harder conversations can all of a sudden become something that they were never meant to be in the first place. And now there's a divide between us. You know, those divides can feel like miles and extremely deep. And you can feel like, you know what? I'm never going to trust them again. I'm never going to... I put up this wall now. They can come as far to me as this wall now, but they never get past this wall. I try to love them. They didn't receive it. Here's the wall. What does God's word say? Love is patient. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Jesus doesn't insist on his own way. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things. Jesus hopes all things, endures all things. And Christ's love, if you know Jesus Christ, is in you. So what we got to figure out is how do we die to the stuff that is stopping the love of Jesus from loving the people around us. And there's some things that we need to do. And guys, I just want to say, if you're hearing this message and you're thinking of somebody else, stop and pray. Stop and pray. This is not for somebody else. This is not for you or you or you. This is for me. This is for me. Don't put this in. It's so easy to think of somebody who's worse. And, oh, I wish they were there. Oh, I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they hear this. This is for you. This is for me. This is for me. So love really is these simple things. Patient, kind, and honest. It's a commitment to be patient, kind, and honest. It's a commitment. Agape love. It's a decision of the will. Do you decide to do it, or do you allow your emotions to overrule truth? What's more important, God's truth or your emotions? Guys, feelings lie. You'll hear me say it over and over. Feelings lie. If you live according to how you feel, you will either be wounded and broken or you will break and wound. Or both. We need to allow God to take the scripture and change us. Change me, not the next person. Not the person over there. Not the person who's not here today. I wish my mother was here to hear this. This is for you. This is for me. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's powerful, isn't it? Love is powerful. It's more powerful. God's love is more powerful than anything else. I've never once convinced somebody into the kingdom of heaven. But I've loved them with the love of God, and they've seen the love of God and responded to God's love. And I didn't get in the way that time. Guys, please hear this. This is spiritual maturity to its fullest degree. This is the most excellent way. This is true spiritual maturity. Agape love, receiving it from God, giving it out to others. Whether they deserve it or not. Did you receive the love of Christ because you deserved it? Did Jesus die on the cross because you were worthy? Nobody else in all of history was worthy, but you were. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. Doesn't make sense, does it? I know I'm not worthy. Guys, that's the love that God gives, and he's perfect, and he's in you. He's in us, and he's giving that love. How do I not get in the way of giving away his love? My hope and prayer is that some of you who started off today thinking of others are allowing this to hit you. My hope and prayer today is that some of you are ticked off at me right now, if that's what it takes for you to deal with this before God. Get it right in your heart and forgive and move forward in truth and in love. If you're a mess right now emotionally, pray hard. Pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is such powerful scripture. Thank you, Lord, for a family that is loving. We're not perfect. We're broken. But Lord, where we are broken, where we've messed up, give us the love, your love in us, to do what we need to do, to forgive and to love those who have hurt us. Father, I pray that the enemy wouldn't have a foothold today. I pray that the enemy wouldn't use this scripture to make anyone here feel more self-righteous in their anger, in their hurt, in their bitterness. Father, we pray for a spiritual covering from the enemy who is trying to twist everything he can. Lord, we thank you that maturity is not about what I do, but it's about who you are in me and how I allow your love to change me from the inside out. Father, we pray for those in Missouri who are so filled with hatred right now. Lord, we pray that that sign, please pray for us all, would be heard by many believers. Lord, as we pray for them, we pray for healing. We pray for your love to come in truth and to bring blessing where there's curse and to bring healing where there's brokenness. Father, thank you that you are greater than the junk that we throw at each other. Thank you, Lord, that love is the greatest way. It's your way. It's who you are, agape love. And we are grateful for that. Bless us and make us a blessing to many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.